ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 हरे कृष्ण। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 1, entitled The History of the Life of Ajamila, and verse number 15. This verse is a very key memory verse, and it is not very difficult to memorize as well, but very important. And this is a conclusive verse in this section, making an important statement about bhakti. केचित् केवलया भक्त्या
केचित् केवलया भक्त्या
वासुदेव परायणा
वासुदेव परायणा
अहं धुन्वन्ति कात्स्येना
अहं धुन्वन्ति कात्स्येना
निहारमिव भास्करः
निहारमिव भास्करः
केचित् केवलया भक्त्या
केचित् केवलया भक्त्या
वासुदेव परायणाः
वासुदेव परायणाः
अहं धुन्वन्ति कात्स्येना
अहं धुन्वन्ति कात्स्येना
निहारमिव भास्करः
निहारमिव भास्करः
केचित् केवलया भक्त्या
केचित् केवलया भक्त्या
वासुदेव परायणाः
वासुदेव परायणाः
केवलया भक्त्या By executing unalloyed devotional service.
By executing unalloyed devotional service.
Vasudeva.
Vasudeva.
To Lord Krishna.
To Lord Krishna.
The all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead.
The all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Parayanaha.
Parayanaha.
Completely attached.
Completely attached.
Only to such service.
Only to such service.
Without dependence on austerity,
without dependence on austerity,
penance, cultivation of knowledge,
cultivation of knowledge,
or pious activities,
or pious activities,
agham,
agham,
all kinds of sinful reactions,
all kinds of sinful reactions,
dhunvanti,
dhunvanti,
destroy,
destroys,
katsnyena,
katsnyena,
completely,
completely,
with no possibility that sinful desire will revive.
With no possibility that sinful desire will revive.
Niharam.
Niharam.
For.
For.
Iva.
Iva.
Like.
Like.
Bhaskaraha.
Bhaskaraha.
The sun.
The sun.
Only a rare person who has adopted complete unalloyed devotional service to Krishna can uproot the weeds of sinful actions. With no possibility that they will revive. He can do this simply by discharging devotional service, just as the sun can immediately dissipate fog by its rays. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. It's a very beautiful 4-page purport. So we need to hear it attentively, otherwise we can go to sleep or the mind can go anywhere. In the previous verse, Sukadev Goswami gave the example that the dried leaves of creepers beneath a bamboo tree may be completely burned to ashes by a fire, although the creepers may sprout again because the root is still in the ground. Similarly, because the root of sinful desires is not destroyed in the heart of a person who is cultivating knowledge but who has no taste for devotional service, there is a possibility that his sinful desires will reappear. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10:44, Shreya ಶ್ರುತಿಂ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಉದಸ್ಯತೆ ವಿಭೋ ಕ್ಲಿಶ್ಯಂತಿ ಯೇ ಕೇವಲ ಬೋಧಲಭೇ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಾಸ್ತ್ರ. Speculators who undergo great labor to gain a meticulous understanding of material world by distinguishing between sinful and pious activities, but who are not situated in devotional service, are prone to material activities. They may fall down and become implicated in fruitive activities. I think I will explain this, or this is kind of intro to this verse connecting to previous verse. So we will go systematically so that we can remember. So you can just remember what we read so far. Om Jnana Vibhramthasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadata Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in the beginning of this chapter, Shukadev Goswami presents two processes as a solution to counteract sinful reactions. First one is Karmakanda, where the process of atonement or prayaschitta is described, and then the process of jnana yoga. So here, when Shukadev Goswami presented the process of atonement or prayaschitta, Maharaj Parikshit outrightly rejected it. He said, prayaschittam adho partham kunjara shauchava, manye kunjara shauchava. So he said, prayaschittam is apartham, meaning useless. Prayaschittam adho partham, adho apartham. Apartham means useless, it's a waste of time. Means atonement is a waste of time. Manye, I consider it like kunjara shauchava, just like an elephant taking bath. So it is fun for elephants to take bath. They like water. They, using their trunk, they pour water here, there, they shower the water, they pump the water out. They have a good time. But after coming out from a lake or a pond, which I have seen, they again throw dust on their body. So this is manye kunchara shautavat. Manye means I consider, kunchara shautavat means just like an elephant taking bath. So he rejected. Why? Because the sinful proclivity, the sinful mentality is not purified. So what's the point? One may do some atonement, one may contract for some sinful activities that one may have performed. Because of course, a person having some knowledge is always fearful about sinful reactions, because he knows that he or she is accountable for one's activities. So that is intelligence. Being accountable is intelligence. And no worries about whatever activities we perform, that is foolishness. So karma places us in the position of accountability. So we are accountable for everything. And when one understands, then one considers, look, I have done some many negative activities, so I have a contract for that. And that's why Vedic literature presents karma kanda. And atonement is part of that, and there are many people who are very experts in this process of karma kanda. So if we have done some sinful activities, if we go to them, they will tell, okay, do such and such activities. However, we don't know the efficacy of that in the age of Kali, even though such processes exist. And even devotees can succumb to such allurements. Devotees may consider, look, I have done this, I have done that, so I may have to do some demigod worship. We have our Kula Devata. So devotees can also think about that. Kula Devata means family deities. If we don't worship our family deities, the life will be doomed. We may get some curse. So even initiated devotees can be fearful about such kind of sinful reactions, and one may adopt to such kind of worships, which are not recommended according to Bhakti Yoga. And after that, Maharaj Parikshit very expertly presented that Karmakanda and atonement are not going to really help anyone to purify the heart. So one may contract for some simple reactions, but one may perform another hundreds of simple activities and one has to face concomitant reactions. Then Shukadeva Goswami, having understood the intelligence of Parikshit Maharaj, moved on to Jnana Yoga. So in Jnana Yoga he presented the whole process: tapasa, brahmacharyena, shamena cha, damena cha, tyagena, satya shaujatya, yamena, niyamena cha. So that was the, I think that were the few verses before, 13 and 14, the two verses before. So he presented the process of Jnana Yoga, which is being completely situated in knowledge. And here you see, the presentation of Shukadeva Goswami is very logical. But he said, because of ignorance, one is performing sinful activities. Even though one may contract the sinful reactions by karmakantic activity, still, because the ignorance is inherent in a person, and so he further commits sinful activities. And because of that, we have to give them knowledge. In other words, one has to be situated in knowledge, and if one is situated in knowledge, one is not going to perform any sinful activities. So it's a very shastric, logical statement from Shukadeva Goswami. And then he presents this process of being situated in knowledge. So he presents, you know, one has to perform austerities, one has to perform celibacy, one has to have the control over the senses, one has to follow the rules and regulations. And in that way, if one's intelligence is situated in spiritual knowledge, then one will not commit sinful activities. And in that way, kshipyanti agham mahadapi, even the greatest of the sinful activities could be contracted. So that's why an example is given. What is that? Venu gulmam ivanalaha. So, okay, it is contracted, but the example is venu gulmam. Venu means bamboo. Venu gulmam, the stalk of the bamboo is growing up. However, what happens? You can burn a bamboo tree. In other words, by the process of knowledge, one can stop all sinful activities. But what happens is, when the right opportunity arises, that is, when the wind is blowing, even though the stalk of the bamboo is burned to ashes, still there are roots and they will again come up and they will again grow as a bamboo tree. So this is an example. The sinful seeds are not burned into ashes. So in this way, Shukadeva Goswami, or in this conversation, Maharaj Parikshit rejects both the processes of Karmakanda and Jnanakanda. And then here, as a conclusive statement, Shukadeva Goswami presents this verse: what is the real process? And that is Kechit Kevalaya Bhaktiya. So the process is Kevala Bhakti. The process is Kevala Bhakti. So we will discuss further about this Bhakti. So we will read from purport and we will continue our discussion. And this is an amazing purport. If one becomes attached to devotion service, however, his desires for material enjoyment are automatically vanquished without separate endeavor. Bhakti anyatracha. If one is advanced in Krishna consciousness, material activities, both sinful and pious, automatically become distasteful to him. This is the test of Krishna consciousness. Both pious and impious activities are actually due to ignorance, because a living entity, an eternal servant of Krishna, has no need to act for his personal sense gratification. Therefore, as soon as one is reclined to the platform of devotional service, he relinquishes his attachment for pious and impious activities and is interested only in what will satisfy Krishna. The process of bhakti, devotional service to Krishna, Vasudeva Parayanaha, releases one from reactions of all activities. Since Maharaj Parikshit was a great devotee, the answer of his guru, Shukadeva Goswami, concerning Karmakanda and Jnanakanda, could not satisfy him. Therefore, Srimati Goswami, knowing very well the heart of his disciple, explained the transcendental bliss of devotional service. The word kechit, which is used in this verse, means a few people but not all. Not everyone can become Krishna conscious. As Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita 7.3, Manishyanam sahasreshu kachit yatam siddhaye tam siddhanam kachin mam veti tattvadah. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. Practically, no one understands Krishna as he is, for Krishna cannot be understood through pious activities or attainment of the most elevated speculative knowledge. Actually, the highest knowledge consists of understanding Krishna. Unintelligent men who do not understand Krishna are grossly puffed up, thinking that they are liberated or have themselves become Krishna or Narayan. This is ignorance to indicate the purity of bhakti devotion service. Srila Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11, Anya Vilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadhyana Avratam Anibhutiyana Krishnanu Shilanam Bhakti Ruttama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities of philosophical speculation. That is called the devotional service. Srila Rupa Goswami further explains that bhakti is kleshagni subhada, which means one takes the devotional service, all kinds of unnecessary labor and material distress can cease entirely and one achieves all good fortune. Bhakti is so powerful that it is also said to be moksha labhudaka. In other words, it minimizes the importance of liberation. Here we will discuss the first part. So in describing the process of Jnana Yoga and how it is going to be ineffective, Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse, Shreya Shrutim Bhaktim Udasyate Vibho Klishyanti Ye Kevala Bodhalabhe, from Lord Brahma's prayer. It's a very important verse to understand that the speculators, they may spend enormous amount of time in studying Shastra, performing austerities, performing celibacy, practicing renunciation. Still, it is considered useless labor. So that's why Klishyanti, they are going through a lot of difficulties. For what? Kevala bodhalabdhe. So to realize one's spiritual identity, a spirit soul, they may go through such austerity. Still, it is waste of time. Why? They are giving up bhakti. Bhaktim udasya. They are not interested in bhakti. And so they cannot really counteract the sinful reactions to the core. And here, in contrast, bhakti is presented. And the first statement of bhakti, Srila Prabhupada presented, is from the 11th canto. What is that? Bhakti hi pareshani bhava. Very important verse to know again. Bhakti hi pareshani bhava. And pareshani bhava virakti, that is the first line. What are three aspects? Bhakti, devotional service. Pareshani bhava. One gets a direct perception of Krishna. Para Isha, the Supreme Lord. Transcendental Isha, transcendental Lord. His anubhava. One gets direct perception of the Lord. And then virakti, detachment. So, bhakti hi pareshanubhava virakti. And then anyatracha. How? Anyatracha esha trika ekakala. So I'll explain this line after going through. It's mentioning anyatracha esha trika ekakala. Trika means the three of them. Ekakala, one will get at once. Ekakala, at once. What? Bhakti, one will get devotion. As you progress in bhakti, you are getting three things simultaneously. One is devotion for Krishna, affection for Krishna. Then, pareshani bhava, one get direct perception of the Lord. And three is Virakti, detachment from matter. So ekakala, three, one is getting at once. And to explain this, a wonderful analogy is given. Prabhatya manasya yadha ashnataha syuhu. Who for whom? Ashnataha. Yadha ashnataha. One who is eating. Syuhu happens. What happens? One who is eating? Prasadam? Okay, this is eating. Just eating. Tushti. Tushti means satisfaction. One gets happiness. Second, pushti. One gets nourishment. And kshut apayo. One's hunger is mitigated. Kshut apayo anughasam. Anughasam means each morsel. So each morsel one is feeling, oh, this is very tasty, this is very satisfying. Meanwhile, one is getting nourishment. And third, one's hunger is mitigated. So this example is given, how one gets satisfaction, nourishment and freedom from pangs of hunger. Similarly, when one performs devotion service, one develops affection for Krishna, one gets devotion for Krishna. Simultaneously, one gets direct perception of Krishna and one gets detached from the material energy. It's a very powerful verse. So this verse Srila Prabhupada quotes in this context to narrate how bhakti is effective to free one from material reaction and the material proclivity to the core. Nirdhahar kinduja bhakti bhajam, Brahma Samhita. Bhakti nirdhahar kinduja bhakti bhajam. So bhakti is such that it burns karmashyam grihati, that we will discuss later. But when we talk about any aspect of bhakti, it has the most profound impact to the core. Karmani nirdhahati kintuja bhakti bhajam. So there nirdhahati is mentioned. Nirdhahati means the sinful reactions are burned to the core. Nirdhahati, not just dahati. Nirdhahati, completely burned. Nirdhahati kintuja bhakti bhajam, for bhakti bhajam. There also it is contrasting with non-devotees. Even Indra Gopa to Indra, Indra Gopa is a worm and Indra is Lord Indra in the heavenly planet. All are subjected to karma. But karmani nirdahati kintuja bhakti bhaja govinda madhi purusham tamaham bhajam. So that's the point. So here the efficacy of bhakti is mentioned and Srila Prabhupada makes another very important point. I'll read that purport. If one is advanced in Krishna consciousness, material activities, both sinful and pious, automatically become distasteful to him. Both good reactions and bad reactions. We don't want bad reactions, for sure. But can we say that we don't want the pious reactions for our activities? Can we say something good happening in life, materially, can we say no to that? Or, in other words, can we be transcendental to that, or we are not affected by those good things that come to our life? Or can we easily be elated by those things? Or can we use that in Krishna's service, being aloof from that? That is the question. And Prabhupada makes this point, that is the taste of Krishna consciousness. So this is something we have to experience, as it is mentioned. Tushti pushti, kshuta payo anughasa. So this is something we had to experience just as we are honoring prasadam. For example, you know, we have classic stories. Even few decades back, Giriraj Maharaj. Giriraj Maharaj was from a very wealthy family and he was in India. His parents, their background of lawyers, they flew from America to India. And they put a blank check in front of Giriraj Maharaj and asked Srila Prabhupada, if he can come with us, you can fill how much money you want. You can fill and you can take the money. Only thing, Giriraj Maharaj, then a brahmachari, he has to leave Krishna consciousness and join the family in America. Giriraj Maharaj didn't do that. So this is pious reaction. You can get as much money as you want. But no, a devotee will not do that. That's why there are examples of Goswamis. Tektva Purnam Ashesha Mandala Padim Shreni Tadatu Chavat. Even they were in the high up in the society. They left everything to Chavat as insignificant. And what they do? Kaupina Kandhashrutav. They accepted a loin cloth and Kanthimala. That's it. They were wearing very simple clothes, just one cloth. They left everything and they came to such a humble position because they had taste for Krishna. So distaste for material things is proportional to taste for Krishna. It's a very simple formula. So it's nothing wrong to have reactions of pious activities or good things happening to life, but distaste is essential. One can use in Krishna's service, but distaste is essential if we want to use even good things that which are coming to our life in Krishna service. That's the reason we know this famous verse by Srila Rupa Goswami. What is that? About Yukta Vairagya. Yuktam Vairagyam Uchyate. Anasakti Vishyan Yadhaham Upayuchyataha. Yadhaham Upayuchyataha. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yuktam Vairagyam Uchyate. If you see this verse carefully, you can see that Anasaktasya Vishyan. So one is, first of all, we always emphasize so much on utility is the principle, which is our Mahavakya from Prabhupada. Utility is the principle. But there are a few things to understand before that. First one has to be Anasaktasya Vishyan, one is detachment from matter. Then only one can use it in Krishna service properly. Anasaktasya Vishyan. Yadhaham Upayuchyate. Yadhaham, in the proper way it has to be utilized in Krishna service. So it's not just some or other. And Nirbandha Krishna Sambandha. And there also Nirbandha. Detachment is mentioned. Why? Krishna Sambandha is connected to Krishna. And seeing the detachment is very important. And then only it can be utilized properly. Otherwise, we think that if I become a millionaire, billionaire, what's the problem? I can use everything in Krishna service. Does that work? No. Material energy has power. That will drown us in material consciousness. So one has to be qualified to use material energy in Krishna service. So this Yukta Vairagya is a very advanced principle. It's not a cheap principle. We may think, you know, everything used in Krishna service, no problem. I have a great desire to have an expensive car. I'll use in Krishna service. This is not really Yukta Vairagya. This is called Karma Mishra Bhakti. Yukta Vairagya is very advanced state. Whatever material desire we have, we want to fulfill that, and okay, we can use some in Krishna service. That's called Karma Mishra Bhakti. We fulfill our material desire and partly for Krishna. So we need to distinguish between Karma Mishra Bhakti and Yukta Vairagya. Yukta Vairagya is a very advanced principle introduced by, primarily propagated by, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He wore big suit, coat. Okay, of course, he was wearing dhoti, you can see the photo. But he had a big jacket from top till the knee and wearing a big turban. And he rode motor car. Can you think about a sannyasi during that time wearing a jacket is impossible. It's an impossibility. Rejected. Outright. One is rejected from the ashram. It is completely maya. This is the setup. He wore everything. And he spoke fluent English. And it is mentioned in Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava that one English lady visited the king's palace where Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was there for some time. That time, when this lady spoke to Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, she mentioned that the way he spoke and his demeanor was more British than a Britisher. It was more British than a Britisher. So that's the way he carried himself. Why? To preach Krishna consciousness. To preach Krishna consciousness. So it is not for any other purpose. That is Yukta Vairagya. Srila Prabhupada, he demonstrated Yukta Vairagya. you know, he had millions of dollars, if you think about it. He had hundreds of temples. He had so many books, so many followers, but he wasn't attached to anything. I had in one lecture, His Grace Bhurijal Prabhu mentioning, he was sitting, I don't know exactly which place, and one devotee asked, because now we have a big society, lot of money, lot of things to manage, do you have anxiety? And Prabhupada sat back and he said, I have no anxiety. This is called detachment. No anxiety, everything belongs to Krishna. This is a very advanced platform that we need to understand. And in devotional service, many things can come. Fame, name, fame, etc. Very difficult to handle. And that's why great devotees, they didn't want fame. We know the classic example of Madhavendra Pudi. He ran away from Ramana, right? Shri Chaur Gopinath. He didn't want fame because he knew if this past time come to know that Krishna stole sweet rice for him, if he think like that, then people would glorify him, and he didn't want the fame, so he ran away. Overnight he ran away to Puri. But of course Krishna had his plan. So by the time he reached there, this news spread everywhere. There is Madhavendra Puri, the great devotee. For him, the Lord himself personally is the deity. Stored sweet rice and kept aside. So this is a very high platform. Bhugarbha Goswami. In Vrindavan, when you go, you can go to the Radha Damodar Mandir, you can see the deity of Bhugarbha Goswami. You know how he got that name? Bhugarbha, what is the meaning of Bhugarbha? Under the earth. Cave under the earth, Bhugarbha. He got that name because he didn't want to be famous, because he was doing Virjan Bhajan, you know, he was doing chanting all the time, very advanced, completely engaged in Krishna consciousness, which is a very advanced platform. We need service. We cannot sustain just by chanting, as Prabhupada said. We need service. Otherwise, we will be in passion, the mode of passion, and then ignorance. So we will be in trouble. Bhugarbha Goswami was doing Bhajan, and since he didn't want to be popular, and he didn't want any attractions and followers, he had a cave under the earth, and he used to go inside and he used to chant. That's how his name became Bhugarbha Goswami. So advanced devotees, they don't want any kinds of so-called pious reactions, which the whole world is longing for. So this is the advanced platform. So now, in our devotion service, practically speaking, we may have a good lifestyle. We may have good things happening in our life, and if we are not attached and we are eager to come to the temple and do service and be with the devotees and do service, do preaching, if we have that consciousness, then yes, we are getting this direct experience. Parayashanibhava. We are actually getting the taste, tushti. So we can see in our life that we have to experience this satisfaction, tushti. How? We become indifferent to so-called good things in our life. Rather, we see if it can be useful in Krishna service, it's useful. Otherwise, it's not useful. So that is the meaning of one should be elated in happiness, material happiness, or not disturbed in material distress. So meaning is that the material happiness, or when good things happen, for a devotee who is neophyte, immediately mind can go to sense gratification. It's an automatic thing. When we are peaceful, devotees are peaceful, and if something good happens, the material enjoyment and material happiness is like a fever. It's an unnatural state for the soul, just like the distress. And so, there is a tendency for a neophyte devotee to go get into sense gratification, or the mind can straight away go into sense gratification when something materially goes alright. So if one has freedom from that, it is a sign of advancement. So that is here. That is the Parayashanibhava, that is tushti that we have to experience. So for Krishna service, we have to take challenges. We have to get out from our comfort zone. There is no other choice. If you want to see the reciprocation of Krishna, we have to do something for Krishna. Otherwise, how can we see any reciprocation from Krishna? If you sit idle and we are not so qualified to chant all the time and be absorbed, we can see the mind wandering everywhere. So we have 16 rounds to chant. Or we may chant here and there something extra for sure. But we had to be engaged in Krishna service. For example, now marathon is coming. Srila Prabhupada's marathon is coming from 24th of November till 24th of December. It's a great opportunity to get out from our comfort zone. Do something to distribute books. And this time we have decided to primarily focus on hardbound books, because Prabhupada wanted hardbound books to be distributed. He said it will stay for decades together. It's a reality. So you can just stay there somewhere and it will keep reaching over the years. So we want to do more of a hardbound marathon. So we have ordered hardbound Bhagavad Gita in various languages, primarily in English, of course. So it's a great opportunity. We had to take boxes and distribute them. And then we see Krishna's power, his empowerment. If you have a target, okay, I want to distribute 500 books, then Krishna will empower us how to do it. Krishna will give us intelligence. If you don't have the desire to do that, then why do we need intelligence? So that's why if you want to see Krishna's reciprocation, and if you want to see aloof from material happiness or distress, preaching is a great opportunity. Book distribution is a great opportunity. We push it. We have to push it. You know, we all have that experience during marathon. We just push it. Whatever it is, just go for it. And we see that we go beyond some degree physical limitations. We can stretch for more hours. Whatever we feel, the books are going. We are tired. We don't know what we are feeling, but books are going. So we need such kind of experiences. So some of the best experiences that I have in my Krishna consciousness are during marathon. I can still remember, you know, one of my initial marathons many years back. And that time also, that's interesting, that time also we were doing hardbound Bhagavad Gitas. And it was a pleasure to distribute hardbound Bhagavad Gitas. And then we started with softbound Bhagavad Gitas, and we got a taste for that. Because it's easier to give. And then now after a few years, we are again getting back to hardbound Bhagavad Gitas, which is very good. I still remember standing in Swanson Street, and, you know, trying to do, you know, the final few Bhagavad Gitas, you know, the last day of marathon, just the day before Christmas, you know, just pushing in the night, you know, giving out some Bhagavad Gita, and I had this last one Bhagavad Gita, I just somehow that I wanted to give, and, you know, someone came along, you know, when I was still, like, I remember a tall Aussie guy from the country, you know, a bit like a hippie, and, you know, giving me, and he said, you know, this book is really good, show some photos. He said, you know, it's too easy, here you go, how much, yeah, $15, no problem, take 20. I was, you know, so happy, you know, it's like that, no. So yes, we need such kind of experiences in bhakti. So that is explained. It is very rare. So we will now go through word by word slowly as we read. First word in this is kechit. Prabhupada explains very beautifully this word kechit. Kechit means only a rare person. It is not for the masses in one sense. It is for the class. So that is kechit. Only someone, not everyone. And Prabhupada explains that based on Manishyanam sahasreshu kashchit yatati siddhe ritamadhi siddhanam kashchit mambeti dattodaha. Not everyone, you know, only maybe thousands may, millions of people may try for perfection. But how many actually come into perfection? Humans, only very few. Prabhupada said, not very few. That is Bhagavad Gita saying, thousands of men try for perfection. But even those who achieved perfection, only one may know in truth about Krishna. So this is the rareness of Krishna consciousness. So given that, kechit also is explained by acharyas that one who takes up bhakti as the main process, not as a secondary process. Because if you ask many people, especially Hindus, many people may do some bhakti. They may come to temple, they may chant some Hare Krishna or some other Krishna mantras. That is okay. But there the bhakti is a secondary process. They have under other things, and on top of that I will chant one Hare Krishna mantra. It is okay. Good. But that is not considered as rare. What is rare is bhakti as the prime process. So our main purpose is to perform bhakti. And here in the translation, Prabhupada explains what kind of bhakti. We will go through that. That is kevala bhakti. Kevalaya Bhakti. And Srila Prabhupada explains that in Anyabhilashita Shunyam, Jnana Karmadhyanavrutam Anugudhyena Krishnanasilanam Bhakti Ruttama. So he defines what is the real bhakti, the unalloyed devotional service. That is the real bhakti, which is not mixed with karma or jnana. So exactly the same thing. Prabhupada is very amazingly presenting this Anyabhilashita verse. So that is very important to know that bhakti has to be the prime process, not as a secondary process, but as the primary process. And then we will see the effects. So I will read further from the purport. Non-devotees must undergo material hardship because they are prone to commit sinful fruitive activities. The desire to commit sinful actions continues in their heart due to ignorance. These sinful actions are divided into three categories. Pātaka, Mahāpātaka and Adipātaka, and also into two divisions, Prārabdha and Aprārabdha. Prārabdha refers to sinful reactions from which one is suffering at the present, and Aprārabdha refers to sources of potential suffering when the seeds, bija of sinful reactions have not yet fructified. The reactions are called Aprārabdha. The seeds of sinful actions are unseen, but they are unlimited. And no one can trace when they were first planted. Because of prarabdha sinful reactions that have already fructified, one is seen to have taken birth in a low family or to be suffering from other miseries. When one takes to devotional service, however, all phases of sinful life, including prarabdha, aprarabdha and bija, are vanquished. In Srimad Bhagavatam 11:14-19, Lord Krishna tells Uddhava, My dear Uddhava, devotional service in relationship with me is like a blazing fire that can burn to ashes all the fuel of sinful activity supplied to it. How devotional service vanquishes the reactions of sinful life is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam 3:33-6. In a verse spoken during Lord Kapiladeva's instruction to his mother Devahuti, Devahuti said, Yannamadheya sravananukirtanat yat prahranat yasmaranat abhikvaje shvado visadhya savanaya kalpate kudakpunaste bhagavannu darshanat. My dear Lord, if even a person born in a family of dog eaters hears and repeats the chanting of your glories, offering respect to you and remembers you, he is immediately greater than a Brahmana and is therefore eligible to perform sacrifices. Therefore, what is to be said of one who has seen you directly? In the Padma Purana, there is a statement that persons whose hearts are always attached to the devotional service of Lord Vishnu are immediately released from all the reactions of sinful life. These reactions generally exist in four phases. Some of them are ready to produce results immediately, some are in the form of seeds, some are unmanifested, and some are current. All such reactions are immediately nullified by devotional service. When devotional service is present in one's heart, desires to perform sinful activities have no place there. Sinful life is due to ignorance, which means forgetfulness of one's constitutional position as an eternal servant of God. But when one is fully Krishna conscious, he realizes that he is God's eternal servant. In this regard, Srila Jiva Goswami comments that bhakti may be divided into two divisions. Santata, devotional service that continues incessantly with faith and love, and to Kadachitki, devotional service that does not continue incessantly but is sometimes awakened. Incessantly flowing devotional service, Santata, may also be divided into two categories: service performed with slight attachment, and to spontaneous devotional service. Intermittent devotional service, Kadachitki, may be divided into three categories: Raga Bhasa Mai, devotional service in which one is almost attached. Raga Bhasa Shunya Swarupa Bhuta, devotional service in which there is no spontaneous love but one likes the constitutional person of serving. And 3. Abhasarupa, a slight glimpse of devotional service. As for atonement, If one has caught even a slight glimpse of devotional service, all needs of no need to undergo prayaschitta atonement are superseded. Therefore, atonement is certainly unnecessary when one has achieved spontaneous attachment, spontaneous love, and above that, attachment with love, which are signs of increasing advancement in kada chitki. Even in the stage of apasa rupa bhakti, all the reactions of sinful life are uprooted and vanquished. Srila Jiva Goswami expresses the opinion that the word katsyena means that even if one has a desire to commit sinful actions, the root of that desire are vanquished merely by abhasa rupa bhakti. The example of Bhaskara, the sun, is most appropriate. The abhasa feature of bhakti is compared to twilight, and the accumulation of one's sinful activities is compared to fog. Since fog does not spread throughout the sky, the sun need do not do no more than merely manifest its first rays, and the fog immediately disappears. Similarly, if one has even a slight relationship with devotional service, all the fog of a sinful life is immediately vanquished. So this is very important section, because Srila Prabhupada amazingly presents the cycle of sinful reactions, right? Prabhupada primarily mentions that there is different kinds of sinful activities: pataka, mahapataka, and adipataka. In Sanskrit, pataka means crime, sinful action. So, you know, great, greater, greatest. So it's like that. One is crime, then a greater crime, and the greatest crime. That is pataka, adipataka, and mahapataka, and then adipataka. So, you know, relative, and then finally superlative. So here we can see, even if one performs all the sinful reactions, so we know the cycle. Why one does sinful activities? According to Nectar of Devotion, that's what Prabhupada is collaborating here.
Because
of ignorance. Avidya. And because of ignorance, one will have, okay, one does sinful activities. Before sinful activities, what is before sinful activities? No? Desire. So that is called bija, the seeds of sinful activity. So there is avidya on top, from there the seeds, bija. And from bija, papa, sinful activities, right? From the desire, sinful activities one perform. And because of that sinful activities, what is the next?
Reaction.
What kind of reaction? Sinful reaction, but what kind? Sinful reactions in?
Unmanifested, in store.
So whatever sinful activities one may perform, immediately there is a sinful reaction, but it is in store. It is unmanifested. It is there. So that is called aprarambha. It's not yet manifested. So there is avidya, there is seeds, there is a sinful activity, there is aprarambha, unmanifested sinful reaction. And just give the time. It can be few seconds, it can be few minutes, it can be few days, few weeks, few months, few years, or few lifetimes. It is going to manifest. Then it's called prarabdha. It's called manifested sinful reaction. Then because one commits sinful activities and it is stored and unmanifested sinful reaction, there is an effect of that. What is that? Kutam or proclivity, tendency. And tendency will further create sinful desires. So this is a vicious cycle. So there is this sinful desires, sinful activities, unmanifested, manifested, and from there again proclivity, that will create more seeds. So this vicious cycle continues. And that's why in this purport, as well as in Nectar Devotion, Rupa Goswami very clearly mentions how each and every aspect of sinful reactions are vanquished by the process of Bhakti Yoga. Here, Prabhupada quotes the appropriate verses. Just like the fire burns the fuel into ashes in no time. Any fuel you supply will burn into ashes. How much our supply of fuel is, it just burns. Similarly,
how much ever amount of sinful activities one may have performed, everything will be burned into ashes by devotion service. And this verse is specifically referring to what sinful reactions. So in this cycle, starting from bija, avidya, bijam, papam, aprarabdha, kutam, and then again bijam, and finally this aprarabdha is the current manifestation for reaction. So this verse, we know with what is actually being burned. There are unlimited supply of sinful activities, so there are concomitant reactions. Everything will be burned into ashes. Yes, specifically, this verse is specifically pointing to unmanifest, that's right, aprarabdha. Specifically pointing to aprarabdha, because there is, we don't know how much is there. So it's like unlimited, multiple lifetimes to come, but everything will be burnt now by devotion service. So that's why this verse is quoted. And then the next verse is yannamadhe sravanani kirtanadya tahanadya smaranada vikvajit swadovi sadhya savanaya kalpate. Even a person from the background of dog eater, savanaya kalpate, he can perform Vedic sacrifice which is reserved only for qualified brahmanas. But even a person from a dog eater family can perform Vedic rites. So this is prarabdha, this is manifestation of reaction. If we are born in a sinful circumstance, or if we are performing sinful activities, that is prarabdha, it's a manifestation for reactions. So we cannot blame anyone. Because of, I was born in such and such family, everyone was eating meat. Because we wanted that. We ate meat because we wanted that, not because of anyone else. So that is manifestation for reaction. Unfavorable circumstances. But even that can be transformed now by devotion service. So that is swadopi sadhya samanaya kalpate. It is possible. In fact, Jiva Goswami gives an interesting commentary to this section in Bhakti Rasamrita, not in Bhagavatam. He mentions that if according to the Vedic circumstances, if they are not allowed to perform sacrifices, still one is qualified. If one wants to perform devotion, Vedic sacrifice, not, if he is not going back to God, and he has the desire to devote the Vedic sacrifices, born here, and if the society is not allowing him this lifetime, he can go and he can come back. Next lifetime, he will be born in such a circumstance, he can again perform all the Vedic sacrifices. So if it doesn't happen in this lifetime, next lifetime it will happen. But that's not our aim. Our aim is to perform devotion. So this is interesting that prarabdha karma is also burnt into ashes. Ultimately, the prarabdha karma is completely burnt when we lose this body. When we get the spiritual body, then prarabdha karma is completely burnt. Till then, we have to carry our prarabdha karma, even though it is helping us to do devotion service. So it is actually equivalent. It is a vehicle to perform devotion service. That is our body and the mind, which has to be cared for. So that is here. So that is about prarabdha. So in this, the first one, all is unmanifestation of reaction, everything is burnt into ashes. And in fact, in that section in Nectar Devotion, Prabhupada quotes other verses from Rupa Goswami. What? From Bhagavatam. Yat pala pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya karmashyam grithita mudgrithendi santa. Very nice verse. Tadvanna ritta ratayo yatiyo virutha shrodo gunasta aranam bhaja vasudeva. Sir, we focus on this point. That is, karmashyam grathidam udgradhenti santaha. The heart knows in the heart. Karmashyam grathati. Please think about this point. Karmashyam grathati. That is the heart knots which are formed in our heart. In other words, the strong material attachments that we may have. Isn't it? It is so difficult to give up. It is like it always comes. It is many times it is compared to heart knot. Because heart knot, we cannot just take it out. We can try. Long time, it's very difficult. So it is a knot in the heart. We are so attached, we are so bound to bad habits or bad thoughts. So many things. It comes. So that is karmashaya. Gradhitam. That is bound. But udgradhanti santaha. Santaha, the devotees, udgradhanti. They can untie. One pulling, okay, the whole knot is gone. Even though it's a hard knot, devotion service is chanting, it is gone. And this verse is quoted to explain what sinful part or sinful reaction or whatever is removed in that cycle, vanquishing the cycle. It's coming to the core.
It's not the proclivity?
Yes, it is the desire in itself and the proclivity included. They are already vanquished. That can be done. Why? Tatpada pankaja malasa vilasa bhaktiya. By worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord. Tatpada pankaja, lotus feet. And palasa vilasa bhaktiya. One can remove. This is also again Kumara Satyalin to Pradumara. Prabhupada of the court saying this from Deva Bhuti is being quoted here. And then Nectar Devotion also gives, just like when there is a forest fire, even the snakes are burned. Similarly, any sinful desires and ignorance, everything will be burned to the core by the process of devotion service. So it is very promising. And then it is actually a life of a devotee. I will explain briefly and conclude. It's a life of a devotee. So it is like, here it is mentioned, after mentioning the Anyabhilashita Shunyam verse in the purport, it is mentioned, bhakti will manifest klesha, vini and shubhada. This is the process of, as one goes through the bhajana kriya and when one comes to nishtha, this will happen. So we can take a simple example, just like a devotee, or not a devotee now, just walking on the street, Mr. X, Y or Z, walking on the street, gets a book or meets some devotees in Haridam, and then, oh yeah, it's very interesting, let me try. So this is a beginning. Because there was Ajnana Sukriti from the previous life, he is able to appreciate. That's interesting. Let me try it. So, read something, may associate a little bit with the devotees. That is from Virasraddha to Sadhu Sangha. After all, these people are not too bad. So, this is the beginning of devotee service. And in the association of the devotees, one may start a little bit chanting Hare Krishna. Still, one may not be following all the regulatory principles. Chanting may not be proper, may not be sincere, but something will start. This is the life of a devotee. And then, one sees that, okay, these people are actually really good. And this knowledge is really very amazing. I haven't seen anything like this. And as one studies more and more, one starts saying, really, I have never seen anything like this. And I can feel a relief. So this is the beginning. So one is actually starting very, very initial stages of bhajana kriya, and one is getting spiritual realization then and there. And when one sees Krishna's form, one is attracted to the Lord's form, and one feels, I have never seen anything like this. This can happen from a very beginning devotee. So Jiva Goswami explains that the interesting aspect of bhakti is that one can see the prayojana, the ultimate result of bhakti, even being a neophyte. One can get a perception of that even being a neophyte. One can see what is Vrindavan like, how beautiful is Krishna when one is a neophyte. So this is the process of bhakti. Whereas Jnana Yoga, one cannot see that. One can talk as much as one wants about Brahman, but one doesn't know what it is. I still remember, during my teens, I was into spirituality, looking what is what. And I asked my dad also into all these kind of things. So many books were there, so I was reading books. I asked, what is this Brahman realization? What is this Brahman? Tell me. After reading, I really can't understand what is Brahman. Everything is talking about Brahman because it's all in personal stuff. Then people are giving many explanations. What is this? Explain to me. I cannot really understand. He explained something. I am sure that time he didn't understand, neither me. So this is other processes. No one can understand what is it. But bhakti, one can understand. Eat a gulab jamun, one can understand what is bhakti. Right? As simple as that. That is pareshanubhava. Bhakti pareshanubhava. Virakti anyatra. So this is direct perception of the reality. So then, one become more fixed in chanting. Chanting 16 rounds, associating with the devotees, now following regular principles. So this is again the beginning stage of bhajana kriya. Then one actually takes initiation from a spiritual master when one is qualified. And that's why one can say officially starting bhajana kriya or the practice of devotion service. That is, one is officiating into the entire parampara, and that is a real bhajana kriya in one sense. Of course, one is being elevated from the time one is chanting Hare Krishna. not our about it, not that bhakti differentiation was useless, it's not like that. But that is an official enrollment into the parampara. And then the official bhajana kriya. And that bhajana kriya, one may go for few decades. In that process, one will experience, okay, heart is getting slowly cleansed. Many unwanted things are coming to our face. Oh, really? So still, one has to pursue devotional service. One may find it very difficult. One may be pulled down by our own mind and material energy. Still, one shouldn't stop. Just keep going. And that's where, when one comes, this is the practice of Anishta Bhajana Kriya. Anishta Bhajana Kriya means unsteady devotional service. But keep going. And it can take few decades. Then slowly one will come to Nishta Bhajana Kriya. Where, as is mentioned in this purport, two qualities will be manifested. Which are they? Klesha Agni, not much disturbances, very minimal disturbances, and Shubhada, one will manifest good qualities. So all the devotees will manifest very good qualities. It's just a matter of time. Even though we may have bad qualities, it will be there, natural. But it's just a matter of time. Good qualities will manifest more and more as time progresses. So this is a real story. So what we are reading is a real story. This is not theory. This Kejit Kevalaya Bhaktiya Vasudeva Parayanaha Agham Dhunvanti Kasyana. We are now going through that. Agham Dhunvanti. Sinful reactions are slowly going away. And then we'll come to the final section. That is Jiva Goswami's analysis. That is, bhakti is classified into two: santata and kada chitti. So santata means incessant flow of devotional service. We wish, but it is far away. And that can be again classified with spontaneous attachment for Krishna and without spontaneous attachment for Krishna. Or one is vaidhi according to like Raghadi principle, and one is raganuga, where one is naturally one is attracted to Krishna. By to the devotees of Vrindavan. So one is attracted to a particular devotee in Vrindavan, one wants to devote to service in that mood. So that is spontaneous. So santata is very high effort. Let's come to the next one. Kadajitti, which is intermittent. Our bhakti is intermittent in the sense that we cannot be absorbed in Krishna all the time. As you like not. So that's why we have a regulated process where we are forced to think about Krishna. We are forced to speak about Krishna. We have to do service, so we are aligning ourselves to Krishna's program somehow or other. So this is kadajitti, which is first one is raga bhasamayi, devotional service in which one is almost attached. So this is also advanced. Okay. Next level is raga bhasa shunya surupa bhuta, which is more relatable. There is no spontaneous attachment, but at the same time, one knows that this is my constitutional position as a servant. I am such and such das or dasi, so I will serve. And the next one is abhasa rupa, a slight glimpse of devotional service. Now, this is mentioned because the fog is dissipated when sun's first rays come. It's not that the sun has to completely come up in the sky. In the initial rays can dissipate the fog. Similarly, the beginning of bhakti, even in the stage of abhasa rupa, so we will be at least in abhasa rupa. Even if we continue abhasa rupa, that is sufficient to vanquish all sinful reactions. So that is the point made. This is showing that power of bhakti in comparison to jnana yoga and karma yoga, karma kanda, etc. Its efficacy is demonstrated and its practicality is also demonstrated. So see this. So initial fog is enough. If we go to Vrindavan, this is a good, you know, now in December if you go there, you see December, January, fog, so much of fog. Morning you get up, you can't see in a few meters, you know, maybe 1 meter you can see. After that you can see so much of fog. But as soon as the sun rises, or the sun rays come, sun doesn't come in the sky, but the sun rays come, the fog is removed. Similarly, even the beginning practice of bhakti can remove the sinful reactions. And as we go further, what happens? Pushti, tushti, and what is the next one? Kshut apaya, anubhasa, in the very morsel. One gets satisfaction, one gets nourishment, and
freedom from pangs of hunger. That is bhakti, pareshanubhava, and virakti. So, kechit kevalaya bhaktiya vasudeva parayanaha agham dhunyundi katsiyena. Katsiyena is also explained. What is the explanation of katsiyena? It is to the court. That's why it is abhasarupa coming, you know. It is completely destroyed. Katsiyena. So very important to know. It is katsiyena. It is destroyed to the court, as we explained earlier. The translation is still completely, with no possibility that sinful desires will survive that much. So the root, the bija is also burnt. Everything is burnt. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Any quick question? Otherwise, already time up. Okay. Thank you. You have a question?
Just a quick one.
Yeah.
When we mentioned that, my question is essentially, why is jnana unable to destroy the root of sinful tendencies?
The reason is, the question is, why jnana yoga cannot uproot the sinful tendencies completely? The reason is, the realization is not complete. As we explained earlier, we need attachment for detachment. Because we have to be attached to something. So if you need to have a full attachment, that has to be for Krishna, then only there can be full attachment. And then one can have complete detachment. Since the realization in Brahman is not complete, because it's only Sat aspect of the Supreme. It's not Chit and Ananda are not realized. And by nature we want relationship. And that can only be satisfied in connection to Krishna. And since it is not completely fulfilled, there will be traces of attachment. So that is what is mentioned here. So Prabhupada's point is, we know that famous verse from the 10th canto, chapter 2, Garbhasudhi. Ayukhyam Krishna Param Padam Tata Apadantyato Anadada Yushmadangraya. One can perform a lot of austerities, as Prabhupada quotes in the same purport. Very important verse has been quoted by Kevala Bodha Shude. Say Siddhim Bhakti Mudasyate Vipo Krishyandiye Kevala Mudra Buddhi Bodha Labhe. So much of austerities are performed, but it is insufficient. Because by nature, we are loving and we have to love the Lord. Had love Krishna, and we had to do that loving devotional service, and that can only satisfy the Lord. Bhagavatam, first canto, Atma Suprasidati. That's the only way the Atma will be Suprasidati, fully satisfied. And since that is not achieved in Jnana Yoga, so it is considered incomplete.
So, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying that Nahi
Jnana Yoga Sadrisham. Yes, Nahi Jnana Yoga Sadrisham, yes, fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita.
So, what
is Shri Krishna? So, that is Divyajnana. Divyajnana Hridi Prakasito. It's not Brahmajnana. Yeah, Divyajnana Hridi Prakasito. We sing. Are we talking about Brahmajnana? No. We are talking about Divyajnana. That is knowledge about us and Krishna, our relationship, bhakti. So, bhakti knowledge is bhakti itself.
So, that's Sambandha?
Yes, starting from Sambandha. Yeah, starting from Sambandha, which will be more mature as Abhilay and Prayajan. So, Jnana, for devotees, it is bhakti. Bhagavatam, it's not jnana. Studying Bhagavatam is bhakti. It's not jnana. It's not just a process of knowledge. It isn't. So we are understanding. Thank you. Grandhashyama Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.